I thought I was all organized. I went through my normal routine, got everything ready, got everything prepared. I thought I was all ready for worship this morning. And when I went to read the call to worship, I wasn't reading the same thing you had. Technology has left me behind, it seems. My sermon is somewhere in cyberspace right now. And that's okay. You see, we're continuing in our study from James this morning. And those opening words from our passage say, "My friends, not many of you should become teachers." And I think a lot of the teachers are thinking, yeah, what did I want to go back this week for? But as you know, we teachers will be judged with greater strictness than others. And so as I was preparing this week, I legitimately thought to myself, Neil, maybe you can get away with not preaching one this week. Maybe you don't have to say anything because, you know, that, you know, why put yourself out there? And considering what we're also speaking about the tongue and what comes out of our mouths, I thought, you know, if there were ever one to skip, this would be it, you know? But then I thought to myself, well, no, because one, they'll start wondering what I do all week, right? You know, I only work 1 hour a week, so my son tells me. And two, I was really afraid that you might think it might become the norm. And we couldn't have that, could we? So here's where you get to find out what I do all week. And if I did a good job this week, because it's up here this week. So I figured if I was going to preach on this subject of teaching and of what comes out of our mouths, well, I might as well make it a long one. I mean, after all, it cooled down this week, so no one's sweating bullets today, except for me. And while I was at it, why not make it a little controversial? Court some controversy with our sermon this morning. It's an interesting passage that James is speaking about here. Warning first that not many of us should become teachers, for we're under greater strictness than others, which he is very quick to point out in the next verse, that all of us make mistakes. And we'll get back to that, that all of us make mistakes. And then James begins to talk about the tongue. About how we can, all humanity has been made to have all manner of creatures obey him, that we can put a bit in a horse's mouth and that can control the horse. But the one thing, James says, that we are unable to control or to contain is, of course, our own tongues. That in one sentence we can praise God and lift God's name up in praise and in song. And then in the next statement, we can make a statement so vile that it is hurtful and damaging to other people. And he says we need to be aware of this. The book of James is the only book in the New Testament that we consider to be wisdom literature, which puts it in Scripture the same place as the Psalms, as Proverbs, as Job, Ecclesiastes. And this passage that we have today is where we get a lot of that evidence of why we classify it that way. James makes a lot of reference to nature. He talks about birds, reptiles, fish. He references different trees. And whenever you see that in Scripture, that is the ancient world way of wisdom. And so James is considered a wisdom book. And James today is really telling us something that I mean, it's common sense, isn't it? Be mindful of what you say. It's so common sense that one wonders why it's in Scripture at all. Doesn't everyone know that? That we should be careful what we say. And so I'm going to court controversy now and provide you with a very real illustration of just how easy it is to perhaps get in trouble. I'm going to dabble into the U.S. political scene. I'll leave our Canadian scene for maybe another day. But we'll dabble into U.S. politics, and I want to quickly look at Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. Currently, I believe, the front runner. When Mr. Trump announced his candidacy, within that speech, he included the following, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it written down in front of me, but he said something to the effect of, Mexicans, they're all drug dealers and rapists. There was another clause in there that he had, but effectively he said, all Mexicans are drug dealers and rapists in his candidacy speech. Needless to say, Mr. Trump, in doing so, alienated not just a country, but many people who reside within the United States. Of course, he was appealing to a base of the population that is concerned with the immigration problem in the United States. And thus ends the commentary on U.S. politics. But I wanted to look at that, what Mr. Trump said. Because what he said was hurtful and harmful to other individuals. And Mr. Trump, though while not identifying, Mr. Trump identifies as a Christian. His home church, I believe, is a church in New York City. I actually read an article that was written by a member who is a member of that same denomination. So Mr. Trump identifies as being a Christian and is speaking very harmful words against others. And here we have within James the passage, and I'll just have to find the sentence here. In verse 9, James says about our tongue, starting in verse 8, but no one has ever been able to tame the tongue. It is evil and uncontrollable, full of deadly poison. We use it to give thanks to our Lord and Father, and also to curse other people who are created in the likeness of God. And so I use Mr. Trump because he is a polarizing figure. It's recent news. He identifies as a Christian and appeals to a Christian base. And I have to say that I don't agree with his statement or his sentiment. I find it abrasive and offensive. And do you see what I have just done? I have called out Mr. Trump for his words, which were hurtful and harmful to a group of people, and I have called him out, and I have said that what he did was hurtful and harmful. I'm not going to say I have slandered him, I've just repeated what he has said and given my opinion on it, but I have said that I think it's wrong. And there may be some of you who find that harmful and hurtful. And so in making my point about how our tongues can hurt, I gave myself no other choice but to put myself in the same place that I put Mr. Trump. And that gets us back to verse 2. All of us often make mistakes. It is so difficult to walk that line of not judging, and we spoke a lot about judging last week, but then also being careful in the way we are speaking. We are all guilty of the sin of inconsistency. It is so easy to fall back into an easy way of being, to speak words which could be harmful and hurtful to others. Others who are created in the image of God. Even people I might not like. They are still created in the image of God. Of course, that makes things challenging. And I wonder, as I think that maybe I should just fall back on the words that my mother taught me. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. Sound advice, perhaps. But I would encourage you to, rather than not saying anything at all, to remember that the individual who you dislike or who has perhaps just offended you is also a child of God, created in God's image. And in remembering that, to speak to them accordingly, how you would wish to be spoken to. James says we should watch what we say with our mouths. That it is so easy to curse others who are created in the likeness of God. And I'm reminded of that story that Jesus tells of a man who has been beset upon by robbers. And the only individual who stops to help him is the very one person who probably shouldn't, the Samaritan. And in telling that story, the impetus for it, Jesus was asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, to love the Lord, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. And who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. When I put those two things together, I realize I should probably pause a lot more than I do before I speak, to ensure that what I am going to say is a good reflection on God. The good news is that when we're unsure of what to say, we can lean back on grace. On the grace and mercy that has been extended to us through Jesus Christ. And we can remember that the one who we serve and follow is the living Word. And so when words fail you, lean back on grace and allow Jesus Christ to lead you in how you should act and in how we should speak. Amen.